Good evening, everyone. So this is a silent retreat or noble silence. And so this is quite important support or retreat. So the word retreat, just the English word, retreat from our usual daily situations where we have to work, we have to make a decision, we have to do this, do that, but just a sense of retreat from all of them. Yes, this is a very unique, unusual environment, but the retreat to the place where we feel safe and hopefully comfortable, and yet not to speak is not usual experience to many, and you may feel a little uncomfortable. But also important thing for meditation practice is the meditation practice is one significant aspect is to learn how our body and mind is. And then when we are talking, when we are doing something, we may not have a good perspective of it. But when we stop talking, naturally our intention comes more inward. And also we become more attentive of how our mind is, how we are. And if you feel like you need the urge to speak, you know, because this is quite a strong condition, you want to express, you want to talk with someone, you want to this. But it's not like a noble silence means you can't, you shouldn't feel like this. It is okay to feel feeling of being uncomfortable, or you want to talk, or a bit funny, awkward. Or some people may feel very comfortable because you do not have to speak. You know, maybe in a daily life, we feel obliged to respond. We feel compelled to be proper, appropriate in a different situation. But now, you don't have to worry about talking. So in that sense, some people may find more comfortable. But the point is, by having a safe environment of silence, so that it's quite okay to be with us, to be with our body and mind. And so noble silence, not just a silence, but this is noble, or maybe it's a simple word, kind silence, if you like. Because when you hear silence, sometimes it becomes more commanding silence. You got to be quiet, don't talk. Not necessarily intended, but almost like unconsciously, somehow from how we live in a society, or how, I'm not sure in this country or in the West, but like in Japan, education is you have to do, you have to make it. So when you hear the word, the silence. So we have to be silenced. We cannot speak. So in that way, commanding silence. But the idea is, as I said, we like to feel safe. So noble is very good word, but sometimes a bit too abstract to get the sense. So if you like, I also like to say kind silence. Just allow, so the intention or attitude of allow each of us to be ourselves rather than got to be someone, have to be responsible, have to do this or the other way around, whatever. But okay, this is, we are allowed to be how we are in silence. So silence, I find it quite supportive and important element for meditation practice. And also, eight precept for this period we like to keep. Precept, or we have a Pali word. The Sila is translation, you may say morality, but the precept is a guideline for our conduct. I have to, please sit comfortably, yes? And it's still 7:45, it continues to 9 o'clock, so please save your knees. Later on, we have a meditation too. So now, please sit in a relaxed way. So I'm talking about 8 precepts. If you are familiar with Buddhism, you know the 5 precepts and the 8 precepts. 5 precepts, not killing, not stealing, not telling, not lying, something like this. I want to really the essence of morality. Doesn't have to say this is a Buddhism or anything, but how to avoid anything unskillful. So that's the essence of morality, and the 5 precept is there. Just doesn't matter in the monastery or retreat or wherever we go. This is the aspect. If we pay attention, it will be safe. If we forget about it, we tend to have more worry. I can talk about it later. But here, for this retreat, we keep 8 precepts. So just I like to explain what is 8 precepts. And the 5 precepts is about morality. But 8 precepts is more than this. Okay, just I do back and forth. Morality, maybe in the society, I don't think we talk about this morality often. Rather, it can be seen as something old-fashioned or not really exciting. And you like to know more inspiring word, something more appealing. But morality is rather something very old or something to confine us. So at least I can say it's not very popular, but it is a foundation for us to be safe. Often in the monastery here too, or outside, or I go to Japan very regularly to have a teaching occasion, doesn't matter in the West or in Japan, in the East. Of what I pick up quite often strongly is the element of insecurity, worried. Instead of having a more confidence, safe, today I'm repeating the word again, safety, but more feeling insecure. Particularly with the younger generation, but it can spread. It can be found in many the older generation, and you can say this is because the nature of the world. Everything is changing so fast, and then the world is now literally connected with every part of the world, to the rural side of Africa, to the center of New York, I mean, just because of the nature of the internet and so forth, everything. So in a way, we're connected, hopefully, but actually more confusion. Diversity is the word, but so many things, so many different things, and we're not sure what is right, where to go. So the element of insecurity, uncertainty, is more in the air. And when I, for instance, myself, when I talk with the visitor to the monastery, or the when I give a Dhamma, a teaching occasion in Japan, when I have the chance to talk with people in person, often the sense of anxiety or insecurity is a strong element. And so when I am asked how to look after this possibly unpleasant feeling of insecurity, yes, meditation, we're going to practice together, is quite important too. But also, I almost always include the aspect of sila or morality. As I said, morality may not be so appear as attractive or something exciting, rather very much low-key, even confining. But for instance, not killing, not stealing, not lying. All of this, if we do this, and also if we recollect of how we are, quietly, gently, we remember all of this, then naturally, in my case, yes, I haven't done anything unskillful, at least so much. Often when we think of how to make our life easy and even successful, how much we can do, how much we have, what we achieve, this is the way we try to strive. But this way of reflection, right? Yes, there are challenges, there are differences, but at least I have done anything too unskillful. Or I try to be kind, reasonable to other people, other creatures. Something like this will give us a safe place to refer to. And if you look for either the wealth or the status, these things we talk about, and we try to get more, something stronger, something more attractive, but as we know, it is not really certain often. It changes, and if you get 10, we need more, 20, and then when we get to 20, somebody is having a 30, what shall we do? I'm a bit oversimplifying, but to get more, how to? And then if we just follow this tendency blindly, the sense of what we are doing, and even to feel feeling of insecurity. So just a very small summary of the importance of morality. It is not a small thing. And also, if you do it, something changes drastically tomorrow. I can't say this, but if we pay attention to this area, and if we continue to pay attention to area, the longer actually the taste of the life can be or should be different. We find at world changes, situation changes, but at least I have a safe ground to come back. That kind of quiet but safe recognition is there. So I'm talking about morality, and the five precept is main part of it, or essential part of it. But now for this retreat, it's 8 precept. So more than this, particularly the number six is not eating in the afternoon. After midday, we do not eat in the monastery too, but in the retreat. So to have a meal in the afternoon, like right now, is it something wrong? Of course not. So, or listening to the music, or the precept says, beautification, entertainment, beautification, and adornment, the seventh one. So this kind of things, it's in terms of morality, it's no problem. But this time, taking 8 precept means to have a break from this, not having a meal and so forth in the afternoon and so forth. So the what is 8 precept? If I use technical one word, it's the precept of renunciation. renunciation, or precept of the monastery. In the monastery, yes, we have an ordained community, nuns and monks. We have a bit more rules, but at least even the lay guests staying here, everybody is following eight precepts. So you may say the precept of renunciation or precept, the what is a monastery? It's the monastery is the place where people practice renunciation. And if you come to the precept, eighth precept is a guideline. So why do we keep this eighth precept for this period? It helps, again, once more, it helps us to observe our mind. What is renunciation? Five precept is careful about our tendency to do something unskillful. I mean, it's extreme case of killing or stealing, or we may easily lie something, but we need to be careful. So this is, we become more careful about that tendency to make mistakes. But eighth precept or precept renunciation means something like when we eat. Why do we eat? Apart from getting a new nutrition to the body, because tasty, you know, I like to. Or when you want to put what's the English word? Cosmetics, or listening to the music, or even to dancing. What is it? So we want to enjoy. So what is there is, if you really look at what's happening, is pleasurable feelings we want to enjoy. And I repeat again, nothing wrong about it, as far as we are in a moral boundary. But now we put a bit stronger boundary to say, okay, we have a break. We keep a distance from this pleasurable feelings, from eating or listening to music. By doing this, we have an opportunity to look at our feelings of pleasurable and the opposite. The meditation is learning about state of mind. And in mind, there are many, many things, but once it comes to feelings, straight, simple enough, pleasurable, and opposite. And our tendency is, me too, I want to have more pleasurable feelings, and opposite painful feelings we don't want to have. We try, but meditation is very different approach to these feelings. Instead of wanting to have more pleasurable feelings, wanting to decrease more unpleasant, decrease unpleasant feelings, but meditation or mindfulness, if you like, the whole point of it is not trying to making more or try to make less of these feelings, rather to be aware of these feelings. This is a really key. If we are to always need to find more of better feelings, and then less of something we do not like, is it safe? Is it peaceful? This is the whole idea of why we practice meditation, why we need to learn body and mind. I just mentioned this, but once we come to keep the precept of renunciation, for instance, okay, in the evening we start to feel hungry, but also just like a habit of, okay, I want to have something tasty, or I want to enjoy the music, I want to see this. But this even the wanting, instead of just when there's a wanting, I want to have more pleasurable feelings, but to be aware of this wanting, this is something we like to learn. And when we say we want to become strong, we want to become strong, but it's not like a physical exercise. When we say strong in terms of mind, is when we have a strong feeling arises, whether we become simply almost unknowingly follow it, or to be even to lost it, or to be aware of it, and then to even to become be at ease with, to be peaceful with it. This makes huge difference. So by keeping 8 precepts, there's opportunity to learn how to be with these feelings of pleasurable opposite, or sometimes wanting arises. So it's an opportunity to learn. So for this meditation retreat, as a supporting factors, silence, noble silence or kind silence, and precept. It is both are quite unusual, but I hope this is helpful for us for coming to 2 days. So at the beginning, the very beginning, if you are ready, I like the people to take 3 refuges in the 8 precept. It's page 131. Also, I have to say this, 8 precept, but it's not simply just 8 precept, but before it is together with 3 refuges, which means taking refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. And I can think some people may feel, what is this? Am I going to convert a Buddhist? Or what is it? I can say one or two things about it. I'm not familiar at all with Christianity. Probably most of you are. So like in Christianity, like the moment of baptized, something like this, you have a very clear moment to become a Christian. But in Buddhism, do we have such a thing? To let's say become Buddhist, it's very different. Well, let's say if you are ordained like this, it's very obvious. You can't. I'm not sure. I can't say this. At least in terms of form, very fully committed as a Buddhist. But for everybody to say what is Buddhism, or this is like taking a refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, or 3 refuges. Am I asked to become a Buddhist? I just come to the retreat, but is it now a moment to convert a Buddhist? I don't think so. So first, in Buddhism, convert to be a Buddhist, something like this, I don't feel right to say something like this. Like in the monastery, every Sunday, for instance, there's opportunity, lay people, visitors take three refuges and five precepts. They do. But I think this is more like, on that occasion, if they wish to, they like to confirm what they value, what they find as a foundation for their life. But it's not like a lifetime commitment or something like this. It's different. Now I become stuck, but what I feel, this is probably not a very official way of saying about this idea of taking three refuge, but first of all, word to convert anything doesn't, at least in my understanding of Buddhism, doesn't sound. I don't see Buddhism like this. Just more, and also a more ultimate sense, the Buddhism, what we are learning is not like to become someone, to look for identity. Actually, opposite. So that sense to, we are Buddhist, we are Buddhist, you are Buddhist, you are not, making a separation, doesn't sound like what Buddhist, the teaching is pointing at, the creating more separation or I'm not explaining very good, but at least what I want to say is to make it probably because of our conditioning, we can make this one very heavy, very serious, if you like. But I think I like to have a more natural attitude to look at what is we're learning. And like taking refuge in Buddha, there's a Pali word, Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. I go for refuge to the Buddha. So what is Buddha? And then there are two ways to look at the Buddha, historical being, 2,500 years ago, he was born in India, and then he is my refuge. You can say this, but also quality of a Buddha. Buddha is awakened. So the awakened quality, or this is what we are learning, the meditation retreat like this. For instance, when we have some strong emotion, let's say anger or moment of, I have to do something. So whether we just hold on to this feeling and act on, either speak or even to do something, or to be aware of our feeling and to learn from it, we have a choice. When we say we go, I go for refuge to the Buddha. I go for refuge to this, to be awake, to be aware. So in that sense, each moment when we have some challenges, whether mindfulness, awakefulness, awareness, we see it as a refuge, or just our conditioned way of, okay, I don't like it. I just do something so that everything becomes following my own way. I'm just very simplified, but when we say Bhuttang Saranang Gacchami, it's about each moment where we want to stand. So the refuge means when the moment of challenge possible, because the world is refuge, what is or where is our refuge? And then if we say Buddha is refuge, what is it? Yes, still, so I repeat again, the two ways to see Buddha, historical being, 2,500 years ago, so forth. Very easy to understand, but the other one is actually what is the essence of Buddha, being awake, you know. So this is what we are learning. So in that sense, Bhuttang Saranang Gacchami, it's not like a really conversion to get some identity, I am a Buddhist or something like this. If you like, you can do this, but also when we think of what is essence, what means there is actually how this being is going to be at this present moment. This is just one example or one way to say that's why the Buddhism, well, no, this is not about the conversion or lifetime commitment or something like this. It's very different from when you imagine like a baptized moment, but this is each moment how we like to be, where we like to be, to remind us remind us which way to learn. Whether you find comfortable with what I'm saying or not, I'm not sure. But so now there's opportunity for people to take three refuges and the eight precepts, but still the word is word. If you feel not sure, so please do not feel forced to do anything, because everything starts from requesting. It's not like a monk or nun or somebody with authority, this is a precept, you have to take it, I give you or they give you. Not like this. Everything is coming from everybody's request, intention. That's why it starts from Mayam Banteti Saranena Saha Atta Sira Aniya Atta Sira Aniya Chama. So I ask for request the three refuges, the eight precepts. This is your intention. Also, when we come to the precept itself, could you please have a look in the 134, just slightly below from the middle. Number one of the precept, Panati Pata Vera Mani Sikapadan Samadhiyami. And then English translation goes like, I undertake the precept, refrain from taking the life of any living creature. So precept is not someone is given or some authority tells you or based on some authority, but I undertake. And also it precept, you know, sikkhapadam. So this is something we want to try to learn how it works. And also the precept, all the precept is have the same form. I undertake the precept, refrain from. So morality I talked about, but eight precept is the same way, refrain from. It's not about doing something extra, doing something new, but refraining from, if it's the five precept, refraining from something unskillful, refraining If it's a renunciation, refraining from something you usually like to do, just have a break from it. So number one, refraining from taking the life of any living creature. Second one, refraining from taking that which is not given. Then number three, refraining from any intentional sexual activity. If you go back to your home, family, you have a proper relation or anything, so it's not like a sexual activity is wrong or you shouldn't. But again, eighth precept is a precept of renunciation. While we are here, just we refrain from any intentional sexual activity. And then from lying and from intoxicating drink and drugs and eating at inappropriate times, entertainment, beautification, adornment, and the sleeping places, like high or luxurious sleeping places. These are the contents of precept, but the structure is refrain from. Just if you are interested in what is precept, it's not like doing something, but refraining from. So come back to the idea of taking a precept. I repeat again, it's not like some authority is there to ask you or tell you what to do, but everything is based on everybody's own interest and understanding. Therefore, the expression is, I undertake the precept to refrain from, so forth. Okay. So that's the